Despite social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace and Twitter, some argue that today's world is more disconnected than ever. So what to do about this disconnect? Well, today we'll talk to several artists who are trying to make deeper connections with the world around them. An exhibit called Connectivity Lost is opening this weekend at Wesleyan's Zilka Gallery. It examines our estrangement from each other and our natural surroundings, and it uses painting, installation, video, and other mixed media. In studio with us today is Judith Hoos-Fox. She's co-curator of the show. She's curated exhibits for college and public museums for over 30 years. Judith, welcome to Where We Live.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
First of all, I'd like you to describe exactly what Connectivity Lost is going to be. If someone comes to the gallery to see this exhibit, what exactly are they going to find?
We've brought together the work of about 9 artists, international, working in a range of media, and they're all addressing the same issue, the disconnect or the uneasy relationship between the built and the natural environment.
When you say the built and the natural environment, you mean the stuff that we make as people and in the world that was here before us?
Exactly. Yes.
So, explain that disconnect in your mind. What is it that's particularly striking about that? Because obviously this is something that's been happening throughout the scope of human history. We've been building things and displacing nature. What's new now?
I think it's the extreme that we've reached. And what Ginger Duggan, my curatorial collaborator, and I find is that artists are reflective and predict what's going to be happening. And so when we look and see that there are so many artists working around a specific topic, that tells us that that is really a defining issue in our culture today. And when one thinks about the proliferation of Facebook and things like that, where people have 600 friends but nobody to have dinner with, that seems to be an example of the kind of disconnect between people. And when we don't know where our food comes from, we don't know what originally was on the land which we are living in, that's another demonstration of the kind of disconnect between us and the natural environment. And as you say, this is a process, and we're at a critical moment in that process, and the artists working around this subject are telling us that in really poetic and extreme and provocative ways.
When you talk about the disconnect between humans and the environment around us, that's certainly one type of connectivity that's been lost. The connectivity between people, though, that you mentioned around Facebook, many would say we're more connected than we've ever been. We can connect with people at a moment's notice. We can gather together maybe 700, maybe 1,000 friends. We can find people all over the world that we never would have found before, recipes we never would have found before, music we never would have found before. Aren't we more connected than we've been?
Well, one could say that, but I don't know what kind of emotional relationship you can have with your 7,000 friends as you describe the kind of ice cream cone that you're eating at the moment. The limited number of characters that a twit can be is not nearly the way that one can express a full thought or relationship. So I think that, yes, we may be connected more, but we may be connected in a rather tentative way.
We're talking with Judy Fox. She's co-curator of the show Connectivity Lost at Wesleyan's Zilka Gallery from September 11th through December 6th. There's more information at wesleyan.edu/CFA. Brian Collier is one of the artists whose work is featured in the exhibit Connectivity Lost at Wesleyan. Brian Collier, welcome to Where We Live.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I'm wondering if you can explain the work that you have in here as Judy talks about the disconnect between the built environment and the natural environment. It seems as though the work that you're doing is particularly interesting. Maybe you can explain exactly what this is.
Okay, well, my project, as many of my projects, looks specifically about, you know, humans' impact on shaping the natural environment, particularly the ones that we experience in urban and suburban landscapes. And this project is investigating starlings, European starlings, which are actually a non-native species. They're currently one of the most, if not the most, common bird in North America. And they all arrived here because they were introduced by this man, Eugene Schieflin, who was a founding member of the American Acclimatization Society in New York. And he introduced about, 60 pairs of starlings in Central Park back in 1890, and now there are more than 200 million animals in across North America, and they've spread widely. And so my project is looking at them. They're usually seen as a unwanted, you know, sort of kind of a weedy species of animal. The people look at them as a pest often, and my project is proposing that we exploit their mimicry ability. They're actually really great mimics. They have the ability to mimic human speech. And my project called Teach the Starlings is intended to have people use a variety of strategies to go out and teach all the starlings in North America to say the name of the man who introduced them here, Shieflin. So eventually what will happen is that starlings will become a living auditory advertisement for their own role in North American history.
Now, first of all, I have to ask, do you find it plausible that you could actually get this done, that you could find enough starlings to teach enough other starlings to say this word, Shieflin, that indeed you could have the impact that you're desiring over time?
Given enough resources and enough time, it is theoretically possible to do this. Of course, the project as it exists is much more about teaching people this often hidden natural history. So it's a lot more about teaching people about their local natural environment than about actually teaching the animals, even though that is, you know, I've had conversations with scientists who work with starlings, and it is theoretically possible. And people who have pet starlings, they're actually a fairly common pet, do have starlings that commonly speak human language actually a lot better than parrots. So
Brian, speak to how exactly the work that you're doing addresses this idea of lost connections between humans and the natural world, the disconnect between the built environment and the natural environment. In some ways, introducing invasive species brings nature from all over a little bit closer to us all.
Well, I think these lost connections are just the sort of severing the understanding of the histories and severing how humans understand their, how we have really shaped this natural history. So I think people, you know, they go out into their backyards perhaps and they see a bunch of birds at their feeder. And I think the understanding of how those birds are here and how birds that used to be here are no longer here are really lost to most people. So part of what I do is I talk very explicitly about these histories, and I talk very explicitly about how all of us have a very direct hand in shaping these histories. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily connect their daily activities to their experience of the what I call the non-human natural world.
Brian Collier is an artist whose piece Teach the Starlings is part of Connectivity Lost on view at Wesleyan's Zilka Gallery, September 11th through December 6th. We're talking about some of this art and some of the big conceptual ideas behind it here on Where We Live. Thank you so much, Brian, for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I want to bring into the conversation now Jason Middlebrook. Jason's another artist. Jason is featured in this exhibit as well with a very large painting as part of Connectivity Lost. Jason joins us by phone as well. Welcome to Where We Live.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if you could maybe pick up on this conversation, explain exactly what the piece in that you have in this exhibit does and what you're trying to say about our connectivity lost.
Well, I think it reiterates a lot of the points that we've been discussing, this kind of disconnect. The piece was inspired by kind of a couple different issues. One, the disconnect between, you know, humanity's kind of grid, the urban grid, and nature's relationship to that grid. And I had moved out of New York City. I lived in the Bay Area before that. I'd always lived in these kind of urban centers, and I moved out, and I was feeling a real contrast. And one of the things I also am inspired by is, getting back to Brian's point, not only birds and the way they live, but the loss of how we kind of see, how we look at things. And when we talk about Twitter and Facebook and how those things can bring an access to more friends, what I think what we're not talking about is how they're teaching us to see differently. And a lot of my work is really about treading lightly on this planet and looking at nature and kind of in a more conceptual, more I don't know, a more tactile way. And as I've spent more time in the country now than I have in the urban, and I'm starting to raise a family and I see the way children see, I think it's absolutely necessary that we learn how to see again. In the natural world, and people are moving fast, they've got a lot on their plate, and sometimes you need to slow down and really look at nature, and that's kind of the inspiration for me, and working with, my work always addresses this push between man and nature.
Slowing down and kind of looking at nature, explain a little bit more about how you might get someone to do that, because clearly we do spend an awful lot of time running around. Clearly a lot of us don't take enough time to, whether it's stop and smell the roses or to stop and take a look around us. But how exactly do you get people to do this?
Well, let's say I owned a company and we worked in Manhattan, and I said, today at lunch, everyone's got to go to the park, and you've got to spend a half hour looking at a tree. That's your assignment for the week. And then when you come back to work, I want you to reflect on that. I want you to talk to your coworkers. I want you to think about what that tree, what profound effect that tree had on you. That would be a perfect example of something that could jolt you in your spot and try and teach you and try to reteach you the importance of your relationship to the earth. And if you did that with your kids or with your spouse or with your girlfriend or your boyfriend once a week, once a day, I really think that that could have a profound effect on how you approach the earth in the future, or your children approach it, regardless of where you live. And so it's just that idea that we have to stop and take a look and think about the magnificent creature of that tree, what it took to grow that tree.
Judith Hoos-Fox is co-curator of this show with her partner Ginger Greg Duggan, who together run Curator Squared. The exhibit is Connectivity Lost, is on view at Wesleyan's Zilka Gallery from September 11th through December 6th. Judy, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank Jason Middlebrook, one of the artists who's on display in Connectivity Lost. Thank you, Jason, for your time here on Where We Live.
Thank you so much.
Where We Live is produced by Josie Holtzman. The senior producer is Katie Talarski. I'm John Dankowski. Thanks for joining us, and have a great weekend.